You're listening to the Refined Hippie Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Henson, and welcome to another episode. Today's episode is slightly different in that I don't have a particular guest on. So technically, I am my own guest. I am very passionate about this subject, which is the gut microbiome, hence the title of this particular episode. And it is near and dear to my heart. I have spent the past 5 years studying extensively the gut, and as I was doing so, trying to heal myself, I learned of the importance of a healthy gut for literally every single disease. It is crazy. So, I will begin with kind of explaining what the heck that term even means, the microbiome. When I was growing up, I never heard that term, but it's probably because this is a new area of research. It actually began in 2001 is when they really started studying the microbiome, or the microbiota is another term for it. And before that, they were studying the gut in general for centuries, but they were not studying the bacteria within it. They were studying the nerves and things like that, but the bacteria that lives within the gut is a new thing. So, yeah, I mean, growing up, nobody ever talked about that. Nobody ever talked about gut health. That was not a thing. If anything, it was kind of taboo, I feel like, to talk about bathroom time. And now I feel like it's totally different. It's kind of like a common, like, you know, dinner table thing. You know, you're taking your probiotics, these kind of things. And people are aware, I think, of that it is important, but most people are not aware, I feel like, of how important it is. Like, it is vital to our overall health, and I mean from everything. So your immunity, 70% of your immune system is found in your gut, 70% of your serotonin, so how well you're sleeping, that's going to be found in your gut. Balancing your hormones, your microbiome dictates that. Anxiety, depression, all these are linked to, you know, the state of your microbiome, autism, and kind of the new frontier of the research that's coming out the past decade or so is that neurological disorders, so Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, all of these horrible diseases are being shown to not start in the brain, but they start in the gut. So that's the new research that's coming out. It's super interesting and inspiring, and it obviously shows how crazy important having a healthy microbiome is and making sure that you're doing all the right things. So we'll get into that, all of the issues that can arise, obviously, with an imbalanced microbiome, and then also what causes these imbalances. You know, what are we doing that is screwing everything up, right? I mean, 100 years ago, they did not have as many issues with this as we do now. And then obviously we'll talk about things that can help your microbiome and help increase the diversity and keep it in balance and all of these things. So what is a microbiome? So the term microbiome can be used in different ways. So the microbiome is defined as the collective genomes, so this includes bacteria, fungi, viruses, and things, of microbes that live inside and on the body. So your scalp, your hair, your eyelids, they all have microorganisms that live there. And hopefully in a symbiotic relationship, you know, we help each other out. Today, I'll be talking specifically about the gut microbiome. So this would be all of the genomes of the microbes that live inside your gut. And your gut is technically your mouth, esophagus, stomach, small intestine and large intestine. So it's that whole region. And the, this is really nuts. The microbiome, it has, well, for every cell that makes up the human body itself, there are 9 imposter cells hitching a ride. So they're, that means that really we're technically only like 10% human. The rest is microorganisms that are just hanging out, you know, living, thriving, helping us out, just chilling, you know. So that's kind of crazy to think about. But the thing about talking about depression and anxiety, the gut is considered, it's there, well, it has a lot of different terms, I guess. One is the second brain. So it is super intelligent, which is also crazy to think about, because people really had, well, the gut was definitely undervalued of its importance, and then also of what it was capable of and what it was doing. So now they're calling it the second brain. There is something called the gut-brain axis. So this is the relationship between the gut and the brain. There is a nerve that connects our brain to our gut called the vagus nerve. It is essentially a bundle of, well, an essential bundle of nerve fibers that connect the brain and the gut. Somewhere I read it that they said it was like the walkie-talkie between the two. So it is like a super, super intense highway, you know, two-directional highway that they communicate both ways. So the brain communicates to the gut communicates to the brain, and this is where, you know, the term your gut feeling comes in. And so this is where the, you know, the relationship and how your mindset is. So how you're feeling, your depression, your anxiety, you're happy, you're sad, all of these is connected to that intricate system, which is exciting. For me, I had never even heard about these things until I was going down my path and trying to heal. And when I started learning about it, I was just like, holy crap, this is super amazing. And maybe you don't think it's as amazing as I do, but it is fascinating. It's fascinating, and it's just an exciting time in the medical field, I feel like, in the research, to be able to learn about this. So this complex system like totally hooked me in. I realize it's probably not the most glamorous, you know, area of the body, perhaps, but it definitely is one of the most fascinating. So there are a lot of things that can cause imbalance in the microbiome. We live in a crazy time period for lots of different reasons. I mean, technology is crazy, and just like being overstimulated constantly with, you know, bombarding with marketing and television. And we have all of these things that we have to check, our email, our phones, or this or that. It's just a lot. But, and stress level certainly contributes to an imbalance. But I'll start with just kind of like a list of things that cause imbalance. These are not in any particular order, so don't think that one is above the other, although there probably are some of them that are more important. But the first one that I wanted to chat about is the chemicals, preservatives, and pesticides that are on our food. OMG. This would be one that definitely has changed a lot. So like 100 years ago, this was not a problem, right? They did not have to worry about this. They didn't have to worry whether something was organic, whether it had a bunch of junk all over it, whether it was sprayed with glyphosate. This was not a concern. Well, it is now, because glyphosate has taken over. And glyphosate is a herbicide that's used on a lot of our produce these days. Specifically, well, some things are sprayed more heavily than others. But so basically what this does is when we ingest food that has been sprayed with these chemicals, it breaks down the gut barrier lining in our GI tract. So this lining is extremely thin. It's so thin. It's about half of the width or the, you know, thickness of a strand of hair. So look at one of your pieces of hair right now and imagine that cut in half. So that is what this tiny little lining is. So you can imagine that it's, you know, it's very sensitive in general, but at the same time, it's very strong. Well, these chemicals come in, they perforate that and break down that gut barrier. And as they're doing that, they cause, like I said, perforation and food particles, chemicals, things like that get into our bloodstream. This leads to inflammation, allergies, autoimmune disease, cancer. I mean, literally everything can be contributed to this. It's often called leaky gut syndrome. And obviously these chemicals are also causing imbalance in the gut and killing off good bacteria, which will in turn help, you know, bad bacteria flourish and causes a whole host of problems. So this is something to definitely be concerned about when you're trying to choose, you know, fruits and vegetables at the store. There is a list from the Environmental Working Group that comes out every year with, it's called the Dirty Dozen or the Clean 15. And that is a really good way to look at, you know, what fruits and vegetables need to be always organic and what other ones maybe are not sprayed heavily with pesticides and chemicals. A rule of thumb is kind of like anything that has a thin, outside barrier, I guess. I mean, so that would be like berries. They don't really have their, you know, just you eat their skin, right? So if you eat the skin, then you should be concerned about if it's organic or not. Avocados are one that you can buy conventional. Or there's also some that just don't have a lot of pests, like common pests. So broccoli is actually one that does not have to be organic. Asparagus, I think, is also in that list. But just Google Clean 15, Dirty Dozen, and you can learn about that. So number two is going to be antibiotics. They obviously are an amazing thing that have changed human history, but in the past couple decades, they have been overprescribed like crazy, and I have a really great story about that. So, hence the overprescribing. When I was in high school, I guess I was like starting high school. I was probably like 15 or so, and let's just say I didn't have acne. Maybe I had like a couple pimples here and there, but it was never some crazy, terrible thing. I never had bad skin. But I still went to the dermatologist just in case, you know, because I did have some. And he was very old school. And his method for combating acne was to nip it in the bud before it even arrived. So how did he do that? He put me on a mild antibiotic forever. I was on an antibiotic all throughout high school. No clue what it was doing. No idea. A doctor prescribed it to me. Why would I think it was bad? I was on an antibiotic for basically 4 years. Fast forward to when I go to college. I am in my super late teens. Why would I think that I had acne anymore? I'm like, I should get off this. You know, I'm past that stage in my life. I'm just going to stop taking this antibiotic. Right. Well, my skin did flare up then, and it was more like cystic acne. Oh, gosh. And so I tried everything, I suppose, topical things. I think I tried to go back on the antibiotics. It was a long time ago. It's a little blurry. But eventually I went to a doctor and was like, okay, well, I thought maybe if I go on birth control, maybe it's my hormones, which hormones are balanced or are linked to your gut. So duh. But I went on birth control thinking that was going to help, which I don't think it really did help. I mean, it was never something that was like, wow, it's totally gone. But then I just continued to stay on it. And I am certainly been off of it for years now, because that's number three. What? Birth control. Ah, man, I know. Birth control causes major imbalance in the gut microbiome. So that is a main contributor, definitely high on the list. Back to the antibiotics, though, I forgot to also add that, well, number four is going to be conventional processed meat, and antibiotics can be linked to that as well, because 80% of the antibiotics used in this country are used in the animal agriculture business, because the animals live in such deplorable conditions that if they didn't give them a bunch of drugs, they would literally all die because they have infections everywhere and they're walking around in their own feces. So they give them all these antibiotics. That means that when you eat this meat, you're ingesting those antibiotics. So not only are you getting extra doses of antibiotics every time you eat meat, but this is going to also contribute to why we have antibiotic resistance in society now. That it's, I mean, it can just get worse over time. But so number four is conventional meat, and it's also linked to the antibiotics. So does conventional meat, processed meat, those things have antibiotics in them, but they also cause inflammation. So they're going to reduce the growth of healthy bacteria and enhance the growth of bad bacteria, linking to all chronic disease. So what is processed meat and what is conventional meat? Just try to cut it out, friends. Processed meat would be everything that you probably really like or did like at one point. I don't know. Depends on who's listening. So bacon, ham, deli meats, literally everything, pretty much everything. And I think that oftentimes people think, oh, well, you know, I only eat them on the weekend, or, you know, moderation, everything in moderation. No. I don't do heroin in moderation, and I don't eat processed meat in moderation. Like, none of those things are good. They're extremely bad for you. Not only are processed meats considered carcinogenic by the World Health Organization, they are up there with asbestos, but yes, they cause complete imbalance in your gut microbiome. They are going to wreak havoc in your microbiome and cause super, super inflammation. They're going to cause leaky gut syndrome. So cut out the conventional meat. Dairy, any type of animal product, dairy is going to be on that list too. Refined sugars, I mean, that kind of makes sense. You know, when you're just eating cane sugar and things like that, that bad bacteria loves it, eats it up. So then what happens? They overrun the good bacteria, yeah, and cause inflammation. So refined sugars, this is refined. So this means cane sugar, those kind of things. This does not mean fruit. Fruit is really, really good for you. Don't be confused. The sugar in fruit is good. Fruit has fiber, which also helps you balance your blood sugar. So anything that has fiber is going to let the sugar be slowly released into your bloodstream. So fruit is really good. It's high in fiber, which is getting me to my next, it'll be the things that help. So fiber is going to help. So don't be afraid of fruit. Speaking of sugar, okay, we'll talk about avoiding artificial sweeteners like the plague. They are also going to cause extreme imbalance. They are horrible for really a plethora of reasons, but as far as the microbiome is concerned, they disrupt the metabolism of the microbes and reduce the gut diversity. So it's also been shown that they lead to obesity and diabetes. This is aspartame. This is all your nasty Cokes and things, Coke Zero, any of that kind of stuff. Do not drink it. First off, sodas are terrible for you, and they're going to be terrible for the refined sugar if you're not drinking the diet. And then if you're drinking the diet drink, it's going to have artificial sweeteners that are going to mess up your gut and then also lead to weight gain. So do not drink them. Do not drink them. It's like drinking gasoline. Like, I feel like sodas, diet or not, to me, are like, that is like the number one thing that I tell a client and make sure that they're not doing. Absolutely. Do not drink soda. Do not drink soda. Okay. The last one is going to be stress. So this goes back to the gut-brain axis and how they communicate to each other. So just trying to reduce stress, you know, I know that that's hard. I mean, I definitely have had my times of stress. And when I was actually diagnosed with my autoimmune disease years ago, I was super stressed. And 100%, I think that is what set me over the edge. Like I said, my microbiome was probably already screwed because I had had antibiotics on long-term dosage, and I had taken antibiotics, and birth control, and then I was under a lot of stress when I became sick. So stress is going to alter your microbiome. They, like I said, they communicate to each other back and forth through that vagus nerve, and just trying to be aware of your stress level. I mean, of course, we live in a society that is fast-paced, and we have running a mile a minute, and it's difficult. But this, you know, is something that we all need to try to be a little more conscious about. So how can you fix your microbiome if it's messed up? Well, first off, if it is messed up, a lot of common signs for this imbalance can be, and like I said, this doesn't mean that just because you don't have any of these signs doesn't necessarily mean that it's not imbalanced or something's wrong, but clear signs would be extreme fatigue or fatigue in general, low energy, skin issues and disorders, having frequent colds and getting sick often, respiratory issues, achy joints, and then obviously the pretty common like digestive issues, which this would be like bloating, gas, acid reflux, constipation, diarrhea, those kind of things. So those would be common signs if you have a messed up microbiome. But like I said in the beginning, I mean, neurological disorders are showing that they are connected to an imbalanced microbiome, and obviously depression and anxiety. So just because you don't have those signs that I just said doesn't mean that you don't need to be conscious and try to work on making it better, right? I mean, I think it's always good to try to improve whatever we're doing, right? So here are some things that have helped me and do help in general. Number one is going to be probiotic-rich food. Yes. Love it. I love me some fermented foods, y'all. Taking a probiotic pill is going to be is on this list as well, and is a great thing. I absolutely am an advocate for taking a probiotic. However, that is not the end all be all. Only a fraction of those little probiotics are going to get to the right place. The best way to get probiotics is going to be in real food. I mean, this is always going to be my I'm always going to stand behind eating real foods when it comes to anything like supplementing. I'd rather try to get, you know, whatever those vitamins and minerals are from real foods. So, and then supplement later or in addition to if you need to. But probiotic foods would be anything fermented, which is kimchi, sauerkraut, kombucha, miso. These naturally have probiotics, and they are a great way to help feed and encourage that healthy bacteria and keep it balanced. So the next one would be eating a lot of fiber. This actually might be number one. Fiber is super vital in keeping a healthy gut. No wonder, the healthiest cultures on the planet who have the least amount of disease and live the longest eat the most fiber. They eat tons and tons of plants, and about 90 to 95% of their diet is plants. So this is from a long, long study called the Blue Zones. If you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to Google it. The Blue Zones are fascinating, and they have really shown a clear picture of what all of us should be doing if we want to live a healthy life, a long life. You know, if you want to thrive without having to take drugs and live long, like, why wouldn't you want to do that? And I don't want to have to take drugs when I'm older. I would love to be able to just, you know, live healthy. So look into the Blue Zones. That's all, they're awesome. The next would be plant-rich protein. So getting your protein from plants is going to ensure a healthy microbiome. Like I said, protein coming from animals does cause imbalance and inflammation. So trying to lessen, reduce, or eliminate animal protein is a really good goal to set. Exercise, of course. I mean, everybody always says exercise, so that would be definitely on the list. Trying to reduce stress, so doing yoga, meditation, taking a long bath, like whatever helps you wind down and de-stress, and just being conscious of your stress level, because I know, like I said, when I was getting sick, I was chronically stressed and I had no idea. I was not consciously trying to calm my mind, because I think I was also under this impression that, like, being stressed meant that you were hustling and you were, you know, working hard. Well, that's a terrible way to look at life. And I don't subscribe to that thought process anymore. So reducing stress is a huge factor in keeping everything balanced. Eating a variety of foods. So this means not eating the same food every single day. I know that's easy to do because we all have our favorite things, but eating a variety of plants and grains, legumes, nuts, seeds, all those things is going to ensure a really healthy microbiome, because all of these different things that we eat, there are certain bacteria that like to eat them, right? So when you're eating a variety, you're going to encourage a large diversity of bacteria, which is going to be create an even healthier ecosystem in there. So eat lots of different foods. And I think that's pretty much, those are my main top list of things to help with your microbiome. I have definitely learned a lot from all my researching, and one of the books that I really love, if you're interested in the gut-brain axis relationship, is called The Mind-Gut Connection. It's by Dr. Mayer. I think that's how you say it. Mayer. It's a really great book. But there's a lot of really good books out there studying about the second brain and the microbiome and these kind of things, if you're interested in that. Or if you need help or think that your gut is kind of imbalanced, obviously shoot me an email. Go to my website. This is something I am very passionate about. I have spent at least 5 years diving into the just the relationship and the importance of a healthy microbiome, and I find it very fascinating. I'm sure I'm probably going to do some other podcasts about this. I have some guests coming on, hopefully in the next couple weeks or next month or so, who are also into this type of research and science. So hopefully we'll have them on and you can be even more inspired. So follow me on my Instagram at TheRefinedHippie. I also would really love it if you subscribed to my podcast. This way you get updates when there's a new podcast being added. You just never know with, you know, the way social media is. And also subscribe to my newsletter. It's on my website. This way, you know, you can have up-to-date kind of information of when I post new things. And thank you again for listening and tuning in. I really appreciate every single one of you. And thank you for subscribing, liking, sharing, all those things. This is just a really fun way to communicate with you all and to share what I've learned, and obviously, you know, my guests that I have on as well. So thanks again. I appreciate all of you. And until next time, peace and plants.